stand before you for a little while. I want to read some scripture from the 7th chapter of Revelation. I've read these scriptures here in a sermon before, and if you would turn to Revelation chapter 7, and I want to read some verses beginning with verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I want to speak to you today for a little while about the greatest of all meetings. And I also want to read from just one verse from the 10th chapter of Numbers. And you have probably, if you attend Sunday school here, you've probably heard Brother Wheat speak about this several times in his during his teaching. And one evening during our revival this week, he mentioned this verse. In Numbers chapter 10, verse 29, it says, And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reuel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And the Lord has certainly promised us as his people some wonderful things. Brother Moran preached this week throughout the meeting, and in one of his sermons that he brought this week, he said several times he mentioned to us how good that God is. And God certainly is good. He's great. He's greatly to be praised. And God does wonderful things for us. If you go back and you read in the book of Genesis about the creation, you find there that it says God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God made good things, and God does good things. And I thought about this last night. The Lord moved up on my heart last night, and I couldn't get the revival services. They were just flooding my mind. They're not a very distant, they're not very far in the past. We just have been meeting here this week, and I've got to say that I have been, I've had a great mixture of spiritual feelings. I have been blessed. I have been encouraged. I've been excited in the Lord. I've also been heartbroken as I looked upon those that have been seeking the Lord and haven't been able yet to tell us that they're saved. And as I said, I hope that changes today. But God has certainly blessed us this week with His presence. I have heard some wonderful Spirit-filled testimonies this week. I have listened and been blessed as people have opened up their mouth and gave praise to the Lord. You know, God gave us the ability to speak, and we ought to stop being so quiet. God has enabled us to, He has given us a voice, and with that voice we are able to speak, and we are able to praise the Lord, and we ought to do that. We ought to let it be known. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we ought to let it be known to people. The song that we sang this morning has always been a blessing to me. And there's been, unless it was just my own fault, every time that I've heard it, it has just warmed my soul. When I think about the fact that the Lord has touched me, that's not just a song to me, that's something that I've experienced. The Lord, one night, I bowed before God and I called upon His name, and the Lord touched me. And when He touched me, He made me whole. He set my feet, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet up on a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And David went on and said, many shall see it and fear. And we ought to let it be known to people what God has done for us. Because the Bible teaches me that those of us that are saved and are members of the Lord's church, and what a great privilege and what a great amount of grace has been bestowed upon us that we could even say those things. But the Bible teaches me that we are God's witnesses in this world. And we ought to let it be known who we are. And we ought to let it be known what we anticipate. And I'm thankful to be able to stand before this congregation of people today. And I'm glad that I can say that I know where I'm going. I know that I'm just on a journey, and that's all that we are today. We're pilgrims. We're on a journey. The Bible talks about those in the Hebrew letter that confess that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. And those of us that have been saved by God's grace, that's exactly what we are. We're just a band of pilgrims. We're a band of travelers, and we're on a journey through life, and that journey that we're making here is not going to last very long. And before you know it, we're going to come down to the time that we depart this life. We're going to leave this world, and I'm so glad today that I've got a better place to go. Amen. And we have been working and laboring here this week in behalf of you that are lost and in your sins, because we heard earlier in the week as well that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, and we are aware of what is waiting those of you that are not saved as well. There are two places that people will go when they leave this world. Only two. It's either heaven or hell. You're either bound for God's bright eternal world of glory, or you're bound for a place that burns with unquenchable fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels, and there's no place in between. When we leave this world, we're headed one place or another. I'm glad that I'm headed towards God's heaven's bright shores, that land that God has prepared for his people. The Bible teaches me that there's coming a day, and you can read this in the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The Bible teaches me that there's coming a day when the Lord will come again, and he's going to gather before him all nations, and he's going to begin to separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He's going to place the sheep, those that are saved, on the right hand, those that are lost, the goats, he's going to place on the left hand, and he's going to say to those, the unsaved, on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And he's going to say to those on the right, those that are the saved by grace, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." There's a great kingdom that has been prepared that is waiting for the people of God. And we're going to inhabit it and inherit it here before too long. I know today that I can't really tell you all of what that place will be like. I know that people have written song after song after song and about heaven and tried to describe it, and we don't really know yet what it's really like. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But I'm persuaded that it's going to be like it was when the Queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She had heard from others about his great wisdom, and she wanted to come and hear it herself. And when she got there, and when she heard of the wisdom of Solomon for herself, she said, "You know, of all that I had heard about you and about your great wisdom, I realize now that the half was not told to me." And I know that it's going to be that way when we leave this world, and when we step into heaven, we're going to realize that the half has not been told. The writer that wrote the song "When We All Get to Heaven," one of the verses of that song says, "Just one glimpse of him in glory, and will the toils of life repay." And I certainly believe that we will. Just one glimpse of the Lord and all of his glory, and all the troubles and the trials of this life will be gone, and we'll remember them no more. Friends, listen, we have in this world, we have many heartaches, we have many trials, we have many troubles. Jesus told us that we would. In the world you'll have tribulation, but in him we could be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. And we don't need to make this world our home, because it's not. I'm going someplace better than this. I'm going someplace where there are no trials. I'm going someplace where there are no troubles. And I know that that's hard for us to comprehend in our human minds. It's hard for us to imagine that. But heaven will be trouble-free. All of the troubles and the trials that we have had in this life, I assure you that every one of them will be laid down outside of the gates of heaven, never to bother us again. We won't take one heartache into heaven. Let me say this. I believe this is the best formula for this. I believe this is the best thing that we can do as God's people, because the Bible teaches us, Paul wrote to the Colossians, and he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And we, as the people of God today, we ought to be doing that very thing. We ought to be seeking those things which are above. We ought to be looking to heavenly things. And let me say this, when the trials of life come upon you, because if you let them, and if you allow the devil through those things, he will get you down. He will weaken you spiritually if you allow him. And so when the troubles and the trials come, we only have to take one look. Let us lay aside the sin, every sin, and the weight that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so when the wicked one begins to shoot those fiery darts, you know what we need to do? We need to do exactly what Stephen did when they begin to throw those stones at him and they begin to beat his life out of him. The Bible says he looked up. He looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw what was waiting for him. He saw where he was going. And I'll tell you what, you take a little glimpse into heaven now and then, and you look up to the Lord Jesus, and you can make it. You can make it. I've enjoyed being here this week, and as I said, my thoughts last night were just flooded with the services that we've had. God's been with us. If you've been here in these revival services this week and haven't felt the presence of the Lord, you need to pray. You need to get things straightened out in your heart, because God has been with us. And it's been apparent that he has been with us and he has been blessing us. And as I said, I'm encouraged. Are there still things I want to see happen? Yes. There are still things that I hope and pray that we will see happen. There are still people that are lost, as far as I know, and I want to see them saved. But I thank God for what he has blessed us with this week. And I believe that he has drawn us closer. And I'll tell you what, friends, the closer that our hearts are knit together, the better off that we're going to be. And so thank God for the things that he has done for us. And it amazes me sometimes, Brother Wheat, how that even in these sinful bodies, because, you know, we are so prone in the flesh, we are so prone to stray away from God, and we are so prone to allow the flesh to hinder the things of God. And sometimes it just amazes me how that we can feel even in these mortal bodies. I told you just the other night how much that I enjoy trying to preach the Word of God. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And I love to stand here and I love to try to expound upon God's word and preach his word. And when God comes upon the scene, and when God wraps his arms around me, and when God begins to lead me by his Spirit and to liberate me, I love to preach the word of the Lord. Sometimes I'm worn out when I'm finished, but I love and enjoy trying to preach the word of God. I'm amazed how that we're able to feel in these bodies. I'm amazed when we spoke about this some this week as we some of us were together having an evening meal. I'm amazed how that God moves upon our hearts sometimes. And this body, our heart just rejoices, our soul rejoices to the point that it just sometimes the body we just lose control. I think oftentimes about those men there at the day of Pentecost when they just were beside themselves. They just lost control and were rejoicing to the point that people begin to say, well, these men are drunk. But Peter assured them, he said, these men are not drunk on new wine. This is that prophecy of Joel being fulfilled, that in the last days I will pour my spirit out upon them. And sometimes we get close enough to the Lord that we do get beside ourselves, and people begin to shout, and people begin to praise, and people begin to stand and thank God for that he has done for them. And friends, listen, if you've been saved by God's grace, you've got a lot today to thank God for. If you don't have much in this world, it doesn't matter. If you've been saved by God's grace, you've got a lot to thank the Lord for. And I'm glad and I'm thankful today that heaven will be eternal. I'm glad that we have an eternity in front of us, because I believe it will require it for us to praise God. I think it will require an eternity for us to praise Him, because we're never going to be able to get finished praising God for what He has done. I'll tell you what, friends, this that John wrote about, that we read about here today in the 7th chapter of Revelation, you talk about a meeting. I mean, he envisioned a meeting, didn't he? Been in some good meetings here on the earth. Been in some good ones here this week. But I know that there's one coming that's going to be the greatest meeting of all. And you know what? I'm going to attend. I'm going to attend. This week, as we have come here and held these services, you that are lost, we have welcomed you into the services, and I'm glad that you have come. I truly mean that. I'm thankful that you have come. But listen, there's a meeting out there that if you don't get right with God, there's a greater meeting than what we've ever had down here. And if you don't get right with God, friend, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And worse than that, you're going to miss it in hell. You're going to be separated from God and from His mercy forever and forever. Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he said, as he wrote to the people of God there at Philippi, he said, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like according to His glorious body. Our citizenship, the Bible there, if you look in your Bible, it'll say conversation, but it's citizenship. Paul was saying our citizenship is in heaven. And friends, those of us that have been saved by God's grace, that's exactly what we are today. We've got a natural citizenship here in this great country that we live in, but I want you to know something today. I've got one that's much better than that. We are citizens of a better world. We hold citizenship in the glory world. We are citizens of heaven, and we look there for our Savior to appear one day from there and to change us. I'm looking for that change, aren't you? You know what I do in this body? I fail God too often. I fail Him too often. I'm looking for that change to come one day. I'm looking for God one day to give me a new body, one that's not corrupted with sin, one that doesn't have all of these infirmities. There are so many things in life that hinder us. So many infirmities in the flesh, time, other things that hinder us. And I've told you before, and I still feel this way today, to me, one of the greatest thoughts, one of the greatest joys as I anticipate, go along my journey and anticipate where I'm going to land one of these days and where I'm going to be one of these days, one of the sweetest thoughts to me, one of the greatest thoughts that I have of it, is I know that God will change me and He will make me and fashion me in a way that one day I'll be able to give Him a greater praise than what I have down here. I won't have to deal with the things that have hindered me here. I won't have to worry about those things causing me to fail in worshiping God. I'm telling you, friends, today, God deserves to be worshiped. He deserves every ounce of praise that we could possibly give Him. I know one thing. God loves for us to assemble together, and His word tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I'm glad that we're here today. But by spending an hour or an hour and a half in church on Sunday morning, we'll never repay God for what He's done for us. We owe Him a whole lot more than that, don't we? God's been good to us. So, we're going to a meeting. We're on our way. You may get there before me. I may get there before you. But either way, we'll meet up. Those of us that know the Lord, we'll meet up. We'll be reunited. Death, at its very best, will only separate us for a little bit of time. And we're going to join this number. We're going to be in this number that John spoke about. We are among those that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and we'll be able to gather around the throne. Can you imagine that? To be able to gather together with the people of God around the throne of God. No clock ticking on the wall. No place that we're worried about getting to. Nothing to hinder us in any way, and just continually worship and worship and praise and say salvation to our God, and to be able to do that forever and forever without ever ceasing to praise the Lord. Whew. Sure is something to look forward to, isn't it? Lost friend, listen. I want to urge you again today to flee the wrath to come. This church here this week has worked hard. Worked hard to provide you with opportunity. To open the doors, to hold services, to have God's word preached, to give to you opportunity to find the Lord, And I know and I believe with all my heart that I can speak for Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church today and say that this invitation is being extended to you. This is what we want. Come and go with us. We want you to go. We want you to go. We don't want you to miss this. You know what? We're going. I mean, what? Either way, we are going. We're going to go, and we're going to attend that meeting, and we're going to be happy, and we're going to be glad. And once in heaven, we'll lay aside every burden that we have for lost souls. We won't carry those things anymore. But while we are here, we have those burdens, and we want to see you saved. And so we say we are headed towards that land that God has promised to give to us, that God has prepared for us. Won't you come and go with us? And we'll do you well. But you won't make it. You won't make it unless along your way you stop at the foot of the cross. You're going to have to go the same way that we went. You're going to have to seek the one that we sought after. You're going to have to be forgiven of your sins the way that we were forgiven of our sins. You're going to have to be born again by the Spirit of God the way that we were born by the Spirit of God, because nobody without experiencing that, nobody is going to make it to that great eternal meeting one day after a while. Unless you have been born again, you will not experience, you will not inhabit, you will not dwell in eternity in God's holy city unless you are saved by His grace. You won't make it. You won't make it. I want to encourage you today. I want to plead with you today to come to the Lord. Come to the Lord. I'm thankful that the Lord saved me. Jesus one time sent his disciples out. He sent the 70 out two by two. I want you to think about the things that we've witnessed here this week. Jesus sent them out two by two, and they came back. They were happy. They were rejoicing, and they were just full of joy. And they said, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And Jesus told them, he said, "You know, while you were out, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. But," he said, "notwithstanding, rejoice not in this, that the devils are subject unto you through my name, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Friend, that is the very height of my rejoicing today, that God wrote my name in the book of life. They saw some wonderful things, and I don't believe Jesus was telling them not to take any joy in it. I think he was telling them, take greater joy in the fact that your names are written in heaven. And that ought to be the very highest of our rejoicing, is that our names have been written in the book of life. The Bible tells me that one day that book will be opened. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Eternally separated from God. No more opportunities. Today, you have opportunity. Today is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, you can come to the Lord and you can seek Him for life and salvation. But if you don't, If you don't find him precious to your soul, you're going to miss all that God wants to give to you. And you're going to have to spend an eternity without him. I can't even tell you how awful that is. But you must be born again. Nothing short will enable you to be there one day in his presence. I want us to stand and sing. I've got a lot of people that I've loved in this world that have already gone on. I'm looking forward to seeing them again. Most of all, I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord, the one that made it all possible, one that gave his life, ransom for our sins. Won't you come and go along? We'll sing the sweetest song ever played upon the harps in Glory Land. Come and go with us. It'll do you well. Let's stand and sing.